Everybody, welcome to Matt Men, your source for all things professional wrestling. I'm Andrew Zarian. Ignore the salmon jacket. My good friend Mark handed it to me, and he's like, hey, listen, dude, put this on before you go on. With me, as always, the one, the only, the apple pie in my life, Rich Stambolian.
What up to all the hillbillies out there?
Is that how we're doing it?
That's my new thing.
All right,
what up to all the hillbillies out there?
What a week it's been. We're recording on a Friday today. Friday edition of Mad Men. I'm dressed like I'm in 1980s Miami.
You're ready to go, man.
I'm ready to go.
You're dressed like 10 o'clock at night at 10 o'clock in the morning.
That's my whole thing, actually. I do club wear early, and at night, I just wear pajamas when I go out. That's it. No, I got to go to work. Mm-hmm. It's funny because people are like, oh, all of a sudden, Andrew's dressing different. I'm like, Andrew has to go to work now.
He's got a job.
Yeah, I got a very unique job.
You got to look the part. You got to impress people.
So lots going on. Guys, we got a packed show for you. A ton of news. Obviously, Hell in a Cell this weekend. We got a bunch of AEW stories. AEW tonight, Friday night edition of AEW, which I absolutely hate watching AEW on a Friday. But it is what it is.
Yeah.
AEW coming to Queens. A lot of WWE news. Tons of stuff going on. And your Q&A questions. Guys, if you want to support us with your Q&As. Hit the Super Chat button when you're asking a question. And fund us anything you want to fund us. You know, you like us, you like this jacket, give us a couple extra bucks. You just want to ask a question, a dollar's fine. All cool, man. We're here to have fun. And Rich is already on his 8th kombucha.
I should not be drinking this much kombucha. Can I tell you something?
Yeah.
Also, guys, thank you for supporting last week with the Super Chat. That was fantastic.
Yeah.
Like I said, we got to get out of here at 11:30. So it's going to be a quick show. Save your questions for the end. We got Mr. Gonzo and Papa Gonzo helping us out. Can I tell you something about last week's
Dynamite? Yeah, tell me.
I was so ready to party, right? Like, wife went to bed early.
Oh, nice.
I'm like, I got a couple of drinks. I got a couple little extras on the side. All right, I got a little tasty snack, right? 10:05, dude, fell asleep on the couch right during Matt Hardy's promo. I was so ready, and then, like, I go to bed very early.
Yeah,
and you too, you know.
When I'm not out.
I think, is this the last week of the late Dynamites? And then next week is Saturday right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe we could do something fun on Saturday.
That'd be fun.
You know what?
Yeah.
Jess is not in town next week.
Oh, yeah?
You want to do like a crazy bonkers live thing? We can do one. We got to make up for the watch-alongs that we're missing. Obviously, yeah. We're not going to be doing a watch-along this week because it's Father's Day and I'm going to be in a drunken coma by the time the show goes on. So it'll be... A little too much going on, but maybe next week we'll do that.
Are we going to do a dirty sleepover?
Ooh, you want to do a dirty sleepover? I'm into that.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Undies for two, Suncast said. We can sleep in those.
He's really been pushing that undies for two thing.
He's been pushing it for years. You have no idea. Where do you want to go? NXT Fallout?
Yeah, let's do the NXT Fallout.
You start it.
I will start it. Thank you again, Mr. Gonzo, for the notes. Episode 366 today. Before you know it, it's going to be episode 400.
It will be.
Then episode 666.
That's the one I'm waiting for.
So NXT TakeOver was a lot of fun on Saturday. People were kind of poo-pooing on it because they were saying it wasn't as good as their normal TakeOvers. But I think with this roster, and I'm pretty confident you'll agree, they put on a good show.
Yeah, man. Listen, it's never a bad TakeOver. Mm-hmm. I would say they had one in like recent history. Right? Like within the last like year and a half, I think they had one that I felt that wasn't a great takeover, but it was fine. Listen, man, that five-way was stellar.
Yeah.
The $1 million belt ladder match really was a highlight for me. I really thought those two guys did a great job. LA Knight has really come into, you know. Now you're sold on him. A lot of people weren't, but I think people, and it's what a great role for him.
Absolutely.
And we'll get into what happened on NXT, but go ahead, Rich.
So let's go through the results. Winner take all match for the NXT North American Championship and NXT Tag Team Championships. You had Bronson Reed and MSK beating Legado de Fantasma. I honestly thought Legado de Fantasma was going to win. And that was I love the opener.
Yeah, great opener.
Great opener. Xia Li beat Mercedes Martinez, 7 minutes. That was an okay match. I think they're still trying to flesh out Xia Li's character.
I think so, too.
Million Dollar Championship ladder match. LA Knight beat Cameron Grimes in a 20-minute match. This match was a lot of fun. I felt like this was... very reminiscent of some classic Southern wrestling.
Yeah, I would say so. Listen, it was a very traditional professional wrestling style, right?
Plus, these guys have worked together before as Eli Drake and Trevor Lee. So yeah. They already have that chemistry going in.
And it goes such a long way.
It goes a long way. You know, it's almost like akin to like your Darby Allin, Ethan Page kind of chemistry.
Yeah.
You know, where like these guys have been around each other for quite some time. NXT Women's Championship, Raquel Gonzalez with Dakota Kai beat Ember Moon. This was an okay match. 12 minutes. NXT Championship Fatal 5-Way. Karrion Kross retained over Adam Cole, Kyle O'Reilly, Johnny Gargano, and Pete Dunne.
Well, and the story there was that Karrion Kross murdered everybody.
Yeah.
They booked him so... I can't think of a guy that they've booked that way in a very long time.
From what I've heard, they wish Adam Cole looked like Karrion Kross.
I mean, how do you know? You would wish everybody. Johnny Gargano, Tommaso Ciampa.
Everybody
looked like... I mean, the dude is very impressive.
Big boy.
And they are... They have such grand plans for this guy, and it's so obvious when you look at how he's no selling suplexes.
Yeah.
He's no selling stuff. I mean...
Strong.
I don't like him in a suit. Let me just put it that way.
Okay.
A little bit of Austin vibes from him, but I don't care for him in a suit. I would prefer him not in a suit and just make him this lunatic bad. Like, what is his gimmick? Is he... Like, what is it?
He's married to a demon.
He's married to a succubus,
He's a
right?
guy who's married to a succubus.
Is he a demon?
Possibly.
A little demon. Little demon feel.
Little sinister minister going
sinister
on.
Sinister minister. Yeah, he's sinister. That's what he is. He is a sinister man.
He's sinister. I wouldn't, you know, like, I agree about the suit thing, and this is just, like, weird aesthetic bullshit that we do sometimes. I agree about the suit thing. I don't mind seeing him in, like, a black button down and, like, a chain.
Yeah, that's cool.
Know?
Yeah.
It works for him.
Fire promos, serious dude, you know. Mm-hmm. And you know what, though? This is the difference between main WWE storyline writing and NXT writing, right? If you look at every character on that main roster, doesn't matter how serious of a character it is, there's comedy involved.
Mm-hmm.
And listen, this has been going on for the last 20 years. And I think what happened, it's that Rock problem where the Rock would lose every freaking match and nobody gave a crap because it's the Rock. It's Dwayne. So it never hindered him.
Yeah.
Right. He would go out there and look at the Undertaker and tell him he's going to take his head and shove it up Kane's ass.
Right.
And you would laugh, but when they realize, like, oh, wow, that's working, everything is comedy writing now.
Well, I really hate to use this term, but I'm going to use it. The reason that worked is because it, like, between DX, The Rock, Stone Cold, Mankind, it was all, quote-unquote, locker room humor.
Yeah.
It was boisterous, sweaty men telling other guys that they're going to do this and that and this and that.
Sure.
I feel like and this is my own personal gripe. When WWE went public, I think you lost a lot of that because they have to appease the sponsors. So you're not really getting that. Like, John Cena versus Eddie Guerrero.
Okay.
Great example.
Yeah.
It was all serious, like, cock-a-pee-pee jokes.
The match was serious, but building up to that was all cock-a-pee-pee jokes.
Ball breaking, like, you know, really, emasculating humor, like that kind of thing, you know, and people got a kick out of it. You can't get away with that stuff now. But I got a question for you, Andrew.
Yeah.
If you had to put, and it seems like, you know, from the aura of what's going on in WWE, they may be gearing up for something kind of cool, right? Where do you see Karrion Kross on the main roster if they decide to plug him in there?
This dude, I have such a different wrestling booking philosophy in my head.
Okay.
I'm not saying that I'm right in this, right? Like, I could only tell you, like, I think I'm a pretty well-centered human being. So I generally like stuff that kind of floats in that path.
Yeah.
If you're bringing him to the main roster, he has to come out really freaking strong.
Dancing dinosaur.
And therefore, he's a dancing dinosaur.
Funkasaurus part two.
Yeah. Karrion Funkacross. I don't know what the hell you do with him. But you would have to have him in a serious role. I feel like they would really step up the MMA aspect of him on the main roster.
Sure, yeah.
You know, and give him those MMA trunks. I don't know, but somebody in the chat room, actually, I think it was Fifth Generation Carney, said he's an MMA warlock magician. That pretty much is accurate.
I'm cool with that.
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
Whatever. I'm cool with that.
You know what? Go on Raw, go with McIntyre. You know what? Mm-hmm. Maybe beat Bobby Lashley really quickly. Whoever he goes up against, and I'm not saying he should be in the main picture immediately, but let's say it's a US title feud or an IC title feud. He has to go in there and look really good.
You know what would be a great debut for him? Mm. Jinder Mahal.
Jinder Mahal would be a good debut.
Good squash on good Jinder. Squash, it's not going to hurt Jinder.
And he beat a former WWE world champion,
That's
right?
That's the way to do it.
But he is a guy that you could have holding a secondary title for a very long time to make that title very important.
U.S. title, IC title, for sure.
Yeah.
William Regal, after the show, he was interviewed. He said it's time for a change. And he seemed to be in tears. And this leads into Tuesday night's bombshell on NXT with the return of Samoa Joe.
Yes. So Joe comes out in the opening promo. Regal's out there. I think it was like a 15-minute opening promo too, right? It was very long.
It was a long promo.
Longer than usual. And you don't really see that on NXT TV. Yeah. But it was Regal and it was Cross and they're having a conversation. Here comes Joe. Regal offers him the GM position. Mm-hmm. Joe turns it down and agrees to be an enforcer for Regal. However, he cannot wrestle. And you cannot touch a wrestler unless he's provoked physically.
Okay.
All right. So the Austin rule.
Sure.
We're going with the Stone Cold Steve Austin general manager rule where, you know,
don't touch me.
Do it, Rich. Thank you.
I love Dragon Ball. Goku. Super Saiyan Goku. Let's go
Master
down that
Roshi.
Rabbit
Master
hole.
Master Roshi. but he ended up, we'll get to it, but Samoa Joe was the most dominant guy on the roster.
Yeah.
Man, what a good NXT. Let me just say that. There were a couple really of moments good. That was kind of crappy, but overall, you could see that the tempo was shifted.
A little bit, right?
A little chaotic. Joe's killing everybody in the back.
I really enjoy that. Are you surprised that Joe came back to WWE?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
I'm not.
Do you think it's because he's one of Triple H's boys? He's got a lot left to give.
I think it's exactly what we had discussed last week, where some people were released from their contracts because of the bloat in the contract. Mm-hmm. And you have a guy like Samoa Joe. Mm-hmm. He's getting paid out on a performer's contract. You really couldn't use him at the time. Mm-hmm. So you put him on air. He was phenomenal on air. And they most likely tried to renegotiate the contract. And they're like, hey, listen, until we figure this out, we're going to cut you. We're still paying you. Like, I don't think he ever stopped getting paid, right? He would have run out around, he was that first set. So, I mean, nothing really changed in him except for renegotiating a deal, signing a new contract, or maybe they just brought him back on the same one. I really don't know the contract stipulation, but I watched the show and the indicators point that Joe is wrestling.
I really want to see that guy wrestle.
And everyone's like, no, he's not. He's not cleared. I don't know if he is or he isn't cleared. I don't know. Maybe they're hoping that he possibly gets cleared again. But if Joe left, the odds are he would wrestle somewhere else. And they most likely want to appease this dude. Yeah, 90-day ends in July. So he was fine. He got paid throughout the whole thing. Listen, Aleister Black should come back also, to be honest.
You think so?
I do. I think he has a... He has a character that he's developed that he's very connected to that he wouldn't be able to really use the way he built it in another company.
I disagree with that.
Well, obviously he can't because it's gimmick infringement, right?
Right.
He can't be the same Aleister Black. He could be Tommy End.
He could be a better Tommy End.
He could be a better Tommy End, but he can't be Tommy End as Aleister Black. So
imagine if he comes. Imagine you have an AEW show.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, a black coffin descends from the top of the stadium.
Okay.
And it opens up and he's upside down in it.
Oh, I love it.
Right?
I would love it.
You could do it. You could Tommy End. That's
it. I love it.
And he's in a suit. He's in a black suit.
See, I hate the suits. I don't want my wrestlers in suits. I want them dirty.
Yeah.
I want them with the cut off sleeves and holes.
Classic Dean Ambrose? That's what you want?
I want classic Dean Ambrose and I want like an NWA wrestler from 1982.
You want
big beer belly.
Terry Funk Street Fight.
Terry Funk Street Fight. I want everybody like that. No, not Street Fight because that's jeans.
That's what I'm saying.
I hate jeans.
Yeah, but
I don't like the wrestlers in jeans.
So
tighty whities only.
I think, and this is just my own personal speculation.
Yeah.
Whatever major takeover they do, possibly in a couple of months, it's going to be headlined by Joe versus Karrion Kross.
I would say Orlando would be the one, because the story is that NXT is running Orlando the day after, which I had heard. Mm-hmm. Separately from the Russell Vote story and everybody else, I heard that they were running. It was temporarily Orlando, meaning if they can't figure out what to do with this, it'll definitely be in Orlando.
Okay.
So on paper, I would say it's Orlando, but if they could find another building to be in, I think they would kind of like to do that, to have some more people in that building if they are running that match. I think that's a blockbuster match.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
I definitely think it is.
We had Tyler Breeze beating Imperium, which I found very interesting. Kushida beating Trey Baxter, retaining the NXT Cruiserweight Championship. LA, this is my favorite moment of the show. LA Knight turning on Ted DiBiase.
Yeah.
After the coronation, right?
What a great... If that was in a bigger building, that would have been the biggest pop ever. So...
I think so.
The way that it worked, LA Knight won the $1 million title at TakeOver. He was getting presented the title, puts it over his shoulder, and you know, and I think LA Knight cut a really good promo talking about how, you know, this is the biggest achievement of his career, and it quite possibly could be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he's our age. He's around our age. He saw this title on TV.
19?
He's 19 years old.
God bless.
He's a teen heartthrob.
God bless
him. You know, like, this dude grew up with the same type of wrestling that we did. That $1 million belt was cool as hell. You know, that was cool freaking gimmick. You know, now he has it. I don't know how much he believes that it's the best moment, but I think this is a big moment in his career. But man, what a bump. First of all, he took a flat back.
Yeah.
Ted DiBiase at the age of 62, 63, whatever he is,
sure,
took a nice flat back bump. Here comes Cameron Grime for the save.
Mm.
People lost their minds.
It was a lot of fun. This angle definitely has legs because now you have Grimes and DiBiase.
Great baby face.
Trying to get that belt back.
And
right?
This gimmick would never get over on the main roster. None of this.
Not even on SmackDown?
Nope.
You don't think so?
Nope. I don't think any of this would get over there.
Do you think because they don't use legends properly on the main
100%,
roster?
100%. Yeah.
Okay.
They look like... Listen, every
like
time...
Fools.
They look like fools. Last time Ted DiBiase was there, what did he do?
Oh, I can't even tell you.
I think he danced in the back.
Okay, and he laughed at somebody's face.
He laughed in someone's face and he danced, you know, whatever. Tim Anger, $20.
Thanks, Tim. Much appreciate.
Andrew equals Hollywood Rock and Rick equals Rich equals Boots to Ass Rock.
I'm cool with that.
I'm okay with that.
I'm cool with that.
Oh, hell yeah.
That was my rock impersonation. How good is that?
I feel like you have to do well. If you're going to do a rock voice, you have to do it with like a really wide mouth.
I can't do any of it.
You gotta go like that. like classic rock promo. Not now. Dwayne's serious now.
Yeah, Dwayne is very.
Also the most muscular person on the planet. Can we do an episode solely dedicated to how much of a mutant overlord The Rock looks like now?
Oh, man, he's jacked as hell, man.
If they did a remake of, like, if they did another Mad Max, make him Lord Humongous.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, this dude is... jacked. That stupid Hercules movie was on TV the other day, too.
What a bad movie.
It's terrible. All right. This next match on
that movie is the reason why he hasn't wrestled.
Because he got hurt?
Because he tore his entire groin off the bone. All his body muscle came off.
There's actually another person inside that Rock outfit.
You know how it is? Yeah. So I guess we'll break the story, right?
Sure. Yeah.
He actually... It's sewed on all the muscles. So in that match, it was like a wardrobe malfunction. It just all fell off.
He's in a meat suit.
He's just like this very thin guy on the inside.
The next NXT match was a lot of fun. It was Raquel Gonzalez and Dakota Kai beating Kayden Carter and Casey Catanzaro. Really, really fun tag team.
It was okay. It was fine.
I did not know that Raquel Gonzalez and Braun Strowman were an item.
I didn't know either.
Very fascinating.
You know what? I could see that working out.
I could see that working out too.
Yeah.
Yeah. He told some dude she's got a bigger dick than
some
dude.
God, dude, he's I feel like this man hasn't spoken.
Don't touch a computer.
Like I honestly feel this way. Like and this is like a WWE thing. Like, these guys are so like wound up from all the stuff they couldn't say over the years.
Yeah.
So he's just writing ridiculous stuff.
It's all penis.
Oh, you know,
penis squeaks.
Listen, how much agree with me on this, please? Some people shouldn't be allowed to touch a computer.
Listen, man, you know how many times I actually like delete what I'm about to write?
Oh, absolutely.
All day long, man. There's sometimes like people tweet me some ridiculous stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm like, all right. And then I'm like, I will always take the fucking high road.
Good. Listen, you know, man, don't take that high road stuff, all right?
How dare you take that high road stuff?
How dare you take that high road stuff? I do feel a little bad that you really got attacked by the bots this week.
Oh my god.
You got attacked by
the X-Men. The X-Men attacked me.
The Sentinels are after you. You got attacked by all the burner accounts. It was a little ridiculous.
Oh my God. No, you know who I blame for this? Honestly.
Go ahead.
It's not me.
No, it's not you.
I'm guilty by association.
Yes.
Because of Brian?
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
of Sean Ross Sapp.
No, absolutely.
Sean Ross Sapp has ruined my life on Twitter, like, because every one of his haters now are messaging me and they're like, ah, you two stealing everybody's scoops. I'm like, dude, I'm not a journalist.
Mm-hmm.
I don't pretend to be a journalist.
Right.
I do a podcast that I really love doing, and people tell me stuff all the time.
Yeah.
So that's what I do. I'm not looking to break stories. Sometimes I'm like, you know what? This will be fun. People would like this.
Absolutely.
You know how much stuff I don't say?
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't think it's fun.
Right.
Like,
exactly.
I'm not going to... Years ago, with the whole steroid stuff that was happening, you know, the suspensions, the wellness suspensions.
Yeah.
People were so angry that I didn't, like...
Chime in, yeah, I know.
Say the details.
Yeah. I know.
Like, I don't want to ruin anybody. Like, I only talk about fun stuff, man. And when this is not fun, guess what?
It's done.
Listen,
it took us 10 years to... All you guys, thank you so much for
watching.
No,
I love you guys.
You guys are the best. And 10 years from now, we're going to headline WrestleMania.
That's it.
tag team match, me and you versus John Cena and Hogan.
That's it. That's it. They just step on us and we're dead.
You know how Cornette says this is the end of wrestling with all the flippy floppy guys?
Yeah.
Is the true end of wrestling when all the podcasters start wrestling?
Start wrestling. Yep, that's the end, man. When we have that battle royal, it's over.
Oh, forget it.
Matt Hendricks, $2. Reigns Ray tonight. WTF. Yep, we got a Hell in a Cell match.
WTF. All right. Yeah, so like Joe chokes out Adam Cole. He gets in the Karrion Kross thing and with the William Regal. He gets in Pete Dunne's face. And your main event was Ciampa and Thatcher beating the Grizzly Young Vets in a tornado tag match. I really like the team of Tommaso Ciampa and Timothy Thatcher. I am reminded of what you said about 15 minutes ago. Do you see them becoming a comedy act? Because that's what happens when you're so serious that they pull the trigger and make you a comedy act.
I just got the best tweet, by the way. By the way, who wore it better?
Oh, that's perfect, man.
We got a who wore it better here.
That's perfect. We got to throw that up online.
It is. It's in the Mad Men group. Somebody take it from Eric's post and post it on Twitter. Retweet it.
So going back to what you said about comedy wrestling, right?
Yeah.
Ciampa and Thatcher, serious dudes. When are they going to pull the trigger and make them comedy guys?
Like tomorrow. If they go to the main roster, obviously there's going to be comedy elements where, you know, Thatcher is fed up with Ciampa because Ciampa's trying to make him laugh or something, you know, whatever it is.
What I can see them doing with Thatcher?
Mm.
Giving him Okada's balloon gimmick.
Oh, God.
Your most hated Okada.
All right. We got to speed it up. Our producers are yelling at us because we have about 25 minutes here.
Okay.
Some WWE news. Next takeover possibly take place in Orlando. We mentioned that WWE is going to be doing a takeover on the 22nd of August. Let's see. WWE will again have an ESPY for best moment. They're also WWE. Oh, so here's a story.
Sure.
So a couple of weeks ago, this kind of goes into a story that Sean ran and talking to a couple of people at WWE. The networks are pitching ideas, okay? There's open communication. We've spoken about this, right? How USA and obviously NBC Sports, whatever you would call it, right? Whoever is on that department is.
Mm-hmm.
And Fox, they pitch ideas and concepts. We saw that with the Legends. What was it? The retro, the throwback SmackDown that WWE really didn't want to do?
What a waste of time.
Well, because here was the thing. They weren't planning on doing it, and it interjected into nothing. Because they didn't... It messed up the flow of whatever story they were trying to tell, so they kind of half-assed it. So I think now they're gonna prep further down the line to do these things and work together with the networks.
Which they should.
But some of the stuff that's planned... For, you know, later on in the year, I saw Russell Vogt said early 2022. It's possible. I was told later in the year. King of the Ring, Raw Roulette.
Cool.
And Old School Raw all coming back.
Cool.
I don't know what you would call this. It's almost like hot-shotting stunts, you know, maybe?
Yeah.
I could confirm. I know that these are suggestions from every side to do this. It's just a matter of who gets what. Raw Roulette, I believe, will probably be a Raw thing. Obviously, it's not going to be SmackDown Roulette because specifically told Raw Roulette. The draft is coming back. Obviously, we know that.
Cool.
We spoke about that. So they're going to be doing that. It's not. It's definitely a draft, though. I wasn't told it's not a shuffle or whatever. It's a draft.
Okay. When I think of old school Raw, I immediately think of Hammerstein.
I do too, but you know what I want to see? I don't want to see that version of Raw.
No?
No, I want like Attitude Era. Like, but why, you know, here's how you do it. Yeah. You want to know how you do it?
Please tell me.
You do an old school Raw.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Okay?
Yeah.
Forget it. You could keep the freaking set the way it is. Hey. It's all LEDs anyway. Oh, they are getting a new set. We'll talk about that in a couple seconds. But what you do, you make Attitude Era bullshit everywhere, right?
Sure.
And you know how you pop everybody? They come out with the titles from that era.
Yes.
Why not? Tell me why not.
I think it was last year or the year before where they had superstars posing with the old school titles.
It looked awesome, man. And Roman with the WWE title.
He had the eagle belt, right? And people lost their minds. They were like, they should bring this back. Why? You know, I find that very fascinating, too. I don't want to get off on another tangent, but like, I really do think some of those older belts look a lot better than some of the stuff they have now.
Yeah.
You know?
But also, it could be that it was our generation, and that's what we got to see. I'm sure there are people that prefer the new title belts way more than we preferred, you know, the Screaming Eagle or whatever.
Sure.
I would do it that way, man. Why not? I think that's an awesome idea. Listen, I know these guys are listening. How much would you guys love this?
Oh, yeah.
You know, if they come out, like, the tag champions, whoever it is, comes out with the old tag belts. You got the old IC belt. You bring that Attitude Era IC belt out. And by the way, that belt now looks so big.
Yes.
Remember how tiny it looked back in the day? Because these guys were all giants.
Massive. Yeah.
Massive. Also, WWE set designer confirmed new sets for Raw and SmackDown are being done.
And they're building a roof inside of Legion Stadium.
Yeah, so what was this? And a huge roof inside. I don't know what that was.
Maybe a canopy.
Probably the canopy, because they do that all the time. Other news, Matt Cardona and Nick Cage, the hottest angle of the summer, Rich. What do you think?
I'm so down with this.
I don't want Matt to get hurt.
I don't want Matt to get hurt either. I don't think he will, but I'm so down with this about how Cardona
and Cage
pretended he was Mox.
Freaking great. And he
with the body language and all that. With all this stuff.
Very well done.
And then you get the reveal, and then Nick Cage crashing Cardona's live podcast. Hysterical.
Hysterical, man. I love it.
It's good stuff.
Love it.
So that's going to be part of GCW Homecoming July 24th.
Yes. Yes. What else do we have here?
We got some AEW news.
Yeah.
There's an article in Forbes with the expectations for them to turn a profit this year. But it looks like they're investing so much money into the video game, it's going to keep them in the red.
Yeah. A lot of people that don't really understand how like finance works and like how corporate structures work and debt works. A lot of people are like, oh, you see AEWs, they can't even make money doing this. Listen, it's a startup. That's how it always is. They're going to show a loss. Obviously, it's for tax reasons also. It helps you when you show a loss.
Absolutely.
Their companies run in the red. Amazon ran in the red for many, many, many years, even though they were turning unbelievable profits.
Yeah.
So, listen, I think they have this philosophy, and they truly understand the rise in pro wrestling in the late 1990s. And you could talk about Crash TV all you want. You could talk about, you know, Russo's different approach in WWE, because you got to give him some sort of credit here. I know a lot of people crap on him for this, but the guy was responsible for creating the seed that needed to, he planted the seed that needed to be planted, that we need to kind of expand beyond this new generation
of hokey
cartoonish wrestling. And you know, forget about what you think of him personally or any of that stuff. You got to give him credit for that. But the NWO, all that stuff, great. I personally believe that if the video games, the THQ video games didn't happen, we would not have seen such a tremendous boom in pro wrestling in that time period. 98, 99, 2000, 2001, that time period really revolved around WCW versus NWO, WWF WrestleMania 2000, and WWF No Mercy.
So good.
Those three games changed the entire landscape of pro wrestling because what it did, you love wrestling, you have the video game, and now all your boys are over.
Exactly.
And they're like, what the hell is this? It was an awesome easy to play video game that anybody could get into.
Absolutely. And when they released the SmackDown games for PlayStation,
those were hot too.
Those were also amazing. Like, I spent,
here comes the pain.
We spent so much time not going to class in college, like at the radio station with like our jangly hooked up setup to, so we can get like tournaments going to play SmackDown. Listen, yeah.
There is a direct correlation here. I truly, truly believe it. It opened up to a whole vast viewership that they would have never had. Those casual fans that showed up, that became fans, it a lot of it was from the video games.
Yes.
And it's a story that you don't really hear too often. You don't hear people talk about the importance of this. And listen, we've seen the importance because, you know what, the last couple of years, WWE's video games have been not so great, not innovative. And for me, I got to tell you, the simulation version of these games, it doesn't appeal to me anymore.
I agree with you.
Because I haven't played in so many years where it's not super easy to pick up the controller and start playing. So I've checked out. Yeah. If AEW is able to create a game that, you know, appeals to this casual playing and casual viewership, then it also, it has a nostalgia feel a little bit, that it's a throwback to that style of wrestling games and not so much a simulation, I think they'll be successful with the game sales. I don't know if it's going to be a blockbuster and turn the company to a massive audience, even more than they have right now. But I think it's ambitious, and it's you could see that they're thinking a little outside the box here.
I think it's a very smart move for AEW to do this on such a big scale, because, and I'll tell you why, they released test footage yesterday with Darby Allin.
Okay.
Right? Imagine down the line when the game is pretty much complete and they start doing the commercials. Right?
Yeah.
Who's going to be featured on the commercials?
Darby Allin.
All the dudes who look nuts. Darby Allin.
Yeah.
Penta. Phoenix. Omega doesn't look nuts.
But you're going to have, obviously, like, but Jericho will be there.
Jericho with the jacket. Yeah. Moxley, you know? And I feel like people are going to be sitting on their couches seeing those commercials and being like, holy shit.
What is this? Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
There's another wrestling company?
Yeah.
This game looks awesome, you know?
Yeah. So very hopeful for that. First four shows on the road will be specials for AEW. And here we go. 7-7. Road Rager in Miami. I hate the name.
Do you think that if this was a 1998 and an ECW pay-per-view, it would have been called Roadhead Miami?
Roadhead Miami, yeah. Extreme Roadhead Miami. 7-14, Fighter Fest Night 1 in Austin,
Boom.
Texas. 7-21, Fighter Fest Night 2 in Dallas.
Boom.
We got Fight for the Fallen in North Carolina and Charlotte.
7-28.
And?
Yes.
And?
Talk to me, Andrew.
You know, this came out of left field for me.
Same here. Straight up.
I got to say, like, I never mark out this stuff like this. I even hate using that term.
I know.
But for being a Queens kid and to hear that on September 22nd in Queens, New York City, right next door to Citi Field.
Yes.
At Arthur Ashe Stadium.
10 minutes from us.
10 minutes from us. Not even, dude. It's a 6-minute Long Island Railroad train ride, door to door. We are there. Arthur Ashe Stadium. AEW, their New York City debut in Queens, New York City.
Oh, can't wait.
Dirty Queens, New York City. They're going to be selling about 16.5.
Very nice.
To make this the largest show so far, this may be, well, I mean, I don't know if they're going to beat WWE in New York. Let me just say that.
This is cool shit, though.
Yeah. So it's 16.5, but I spoke to someone in the venue at Arthur Ashe. They said that it's scalable to be more.
Very nice. Yeah.
So if they see AEW, they did the math. Obviously, they have analytical data that shows how many tickets they could sell for this in their minds, based on demand and hype and interest and all that stuff. And they believe they can sell almost 17,000 tickets. I think they'll be able to open up more. There's going to be definitely a demand for this because it's a very unique venue. Now, here's the biggest story here. And a lot of people don't know this. Arthur Ashe Stadium essentially is part of the Parks Department in New York City.
Yeah.
It was built in 1993. It was a Dinkins project, and the concept was that essentially they get this for nothing. The tennis, whatever, the United States Tennis Federation, whatever, USTF or whatever the governing body for the U.S. Open and everything is, right? Because I'm not that big on tennis. So I'm just going to go based on what was said to me. They wanted other events in this building for a very, very long time. The retractable roof that they put on it a couple of years ago was part of this to kind of allow other events to happen. The city, the Parks Department especially, and the person that has been in charge of the Parks Department for the at that moment you know, for whatever time, was very much against running anything other than tennis in this building. There have been numerous people that have suggested events and this and that and boxing or whatever, you know, whatever it is, because it's New York City. We don't have 20,000 person buildings that often here. You really don't have too many options. Now you have Brooklyn and obviously you have the Garden, but you don't have another third option that maybe is a little cheaper because you're in the outer boroughs. But there's obviously the city needs money. A lot of speculation that Tony Khan is this genius negotiator, which I'm sure he's great at it. But the truth is the city has no money. And here comes an event to be held in this cool building right after the U.S. Open.
Yep.
The building was being used anyway. You staffed them already. Mm-hmm. Might as well continue it for another week or so. And you get another really cool event that you could say. And it's a historic event for New York City and the Parks Department.
Absolutely.
So I think this is really cool. Especially for the fact that we're going to be there.
Oh, yeah.
We're literally very... I mean, there's no excuse why we shouldn't be there. And spoke to a couple people. We're going to have a lot of these guys on the show.
Very special surprises coming up.
Very special surprises coming up. So, very excited for this. Very cool. Personally, I think this is a cool thing, being a New Yorker and having that event. Because I go to the U.S. Open every year, and I think it's really cool. The venues are awesome.
Well, also, people don't understand that how, like much like MSG, Arthur Ashe Stadium and Citi Field are... like super easy to get to from anywhere, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Super easy.
LIRR7 trains. Yeah. You drive in. The traffic isn't a pain. We got $5 from All Elite Podcast. What up, boys? Always enjoy the content. Keep up the good work as always. Your podcast friend Kyle and Tiff from All Elite.
Hey, Kyle and Tiff. Everybody, check them out. All Elite Podcast.
So we gotta jump into questions in a few minutes. So guys, like, please put your questions.
We're gonna do rapid fire.
Put your questions in the chat. Mr. Gonzo or Jonathan, please throw them into the notes so we can get at them. We still got a couple of bits of, we still have a few talking points here that we're going to have to really like
go fast.
Breeze through.
Yeah. I got 10 minutes.
It looks like both Renee Young and Brandy had their babies.
Yeah. Congratulations to both of them.
I think Brandy literally just had her kid as we went on the
just,
air.
Oh, really? Congratulations.
Yeah. And Mox and Renee had a little baby girl named Nora, I believe.
Amazing.
We're getting a this is the last Dynamite on a Friday night.
Thank God.
I don't think we have to go into the card here, but it looks like it's fun. Tonight's Dynamite looks like a big show. You're getting the Bucks and the Good Brothers versus Death Triangle, pretty much. Kingston Andrade does a sit down with Jim Ross.
Oh, cool.
Cassidy,
you think he's wearing the same jacket?
Yes. Yes, I think so. I for some reason, I see like snake print, like a snake print jacket. You're getting like a 2-on-1.
My hair got messed up, by the way. I got to take this off.
Scorpio Sky versus and Ethan Page versus Darby Allin. MMA rules cage fight. Jack Hager versus Wardlow. I feel like that's going to be the sleeper. Cody and Brock Anderson. Arn Anderson stunned versus QT Marshall and Aaron Solo. I think that's going to be a lot
of
fun.
It's Brock Lesnar and Arn Anderson's child, right?
Yes.
Okay.
They somehow made it work, like the movie Junior. We also have tonight. We have SmackDown tonight. We haven't really talked that much about mainstream WWE. Hell in a Cell for the Universal title. That's this Sunday, right?
So this Friday, there will be a Universal title match in Hell in a Cell.
Okay.
Between Rey Mysterio and Roman Reigns. Mm-hmm. So they're doing it tonight. So obviously, it's going to be some sort of bizarro finish, right? To kind of continue whatever the hell they're going to do on Sunday. Hell in a Cell is for the WWE titles, Drew McIntyre, Bobby Lashley. Mm-hmm. If McIntyre loses, he'll no longer be able to challenge for the title as long as Lashley is champion. Mm-hmm. I would have him lose. Keep the title on Lashley. I'm into it. Raw women's title, Charlotte versus Rhea Ripley. SmackDown Women's Championship, Bayley versus Bianca Belair. Shayna Baszler versus Alexa Bliss. Those are the matches that we have announced currently.
We got $5 from Matt J. Hendricks in the audience. Lashley isn't selling on Cameo. Does this mean he drops the title?
Oh, I don't know.
That's kind of an interesting point to make, you know? Yeah, you never know. Like, these guys might not have time, because I feel like if you're trying to get a Cameo... you know, it really depends on the person's schedule. And these guys probably have to knock them out, like, super, super quick.
Yeah.
You know?
All right, Q&A time, boys and girls. Submit your questions in the chat so we can do our best to answer them.
Like we said before, if you want your question bumped to the top of the line, super chat us. It doesn't matter what you donate. We will get to you guys first. All right. So we got Brendan Edwards. Why did Triple H reach back for Joe and not Alistair?
I'm so sorry. I just got the funniest thing. I can't. I'm so sorry. I got a funny message right now.
Go ahead. Can you show it to me?
No, I can't. I can't.
Really?
Yeah.
Is it that bad?
By the way, can I just tell you something? I'm going to tell you something. You want a little scoop?
Oh, I'd love the scoop.
Okay, I'll give you guys a little scoop right now, baby. I could tell you for a fact that USA Network is very unhappy
with
that Hell in a Cell match is happening on SmackDown.
Ooh, really?
I have to tell you. Yeah.
Okay.
They're not very I'm not going to say they're fuming, but I'm going to say they're very unhappy about it.
Is that Donnie from catering?
That's Reginald from the mailroom.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Very excellent. All right.
Sorry.
No. That's fine. The questions are populating here very slowly.
Okay. Let's go right through. Sorry.
When will NXT leave the CWC? Even though there were more fans, they weren't that loud. NXT will look really low rent if Raw, SmackDown, and AEW are in packed arenas and NXT is still in the CWC.
So I very much agree with that, and I actually also think that Full Sail is a little, and I was saying the same thing when they were at Full Sail, that it was still, you know, when you're going head to head with AEW and they're inside of larger buildings and it's brighter and it's shinier, you know, like just the way it's shot is very different. And AEW and NXT goes for more of the grimy's not the word. What's the word I'm looking for? It's more like
low budget.
It's not that it's low budget. It looks great, but it's more, the aesthetic is more grimy.
Okay.
Like a little bit of there's a
Ring of Honor.
I think it's better than Ring of Honor because Ring of Honor tries to do the glitz and glam and they can't.
Okay.
They purposely pull back. I should just say that.
Okay.
To make it look the way they do.
Let's see what we got here. Right. We got Anthony JCP. Percent chance Aleister Black returns to NXT.
Listen, man, I would love to see him anywhere. I don't know. I do think that everybody agrees that they really screwed up on him when they brought him to the main roster. I think it was a detriment when they brought him up the way they brought him up, and when they brought him up, they could have done so much more with him and they didn't. I don't think a character like him. Here's what I'm gonna say. And this was said to me by somebody there. A character that is deep like him has a very difficult time surviving on the main roster because of how many hands a story goes through.
Fair enough.
So in NXT, it's very easy for you to say, okay, you know what? That coffin on the side with the lights, you know, he doesn't come down the ramp. You shoot on the side and you got the candles and the coffin opens and he has a serious look and you flash the white lights on there, right? When they do that on NXT, it's like a couple people.
Okay.
WWE main roster, you got 500 production staff. You got, that's not the exact number. It's a hyperbole. I'm exaggerating here, but they got so many people it goes through. By the time it gets so watered down, you're like, yeah, whatever.
That's a good answer. You know, like I said, I like my upside down black coffin idea.
I love that idea. I'm gonna start doing that when I enter buildings.
Oh, it'd be so amazing. Anthony also has he has a couple. Any chance the Fiend is facing Lashley at SummerSlam?
I would say no.
Okay, we got about 10 minutes, folks.
Okay,
thanks for tuning in. Has WWE made a play for CM Punk?
I know that it's, I'm not going to say a play, but I know that they would love to have him if they could.
Right.
You know, that's the thing. Like, he's a tremendous name that still has a following. I generally know a lot of people like, but he got knocked, you know, he got his ass kicked in MMA.
Who cares?
I don't see it that way at all.
Right. Exactly.
Because I know how freaking difficult that fighting at that level is. And the fact that, you know, he thought he could do it. And he thought he could compete on that level? Whatever, man. You know, good on you. You took a shot at it, and you didn't let people get in your head about it. I think he is a very unique person. And when you have the notoriety that you do, any company would want him, but there's a reason why nobody has hired him.
I got a question for you real quick. All right. I feel like this kind of universally answers the question, right? What marquee match would you rather see personally? CM Punk versus Roman Reigns headlining WrestleMania. CM Punk versus Kenny Omega headlining Double or Nothing. Or All Out.
Give me the first one again.
Roman versus Punk headlining WrestleMania.
or
Punk versus Kenny All Out, or
no, Roman versus CM Punk would be the way bigger match.
You think so?
Yeah, yeah, 10 times
in
ten
your
times
heart.
Bigger.
In your heart,
no, in my,
the one you'd want to see more.
I would want to see if I'm playing,
Puppeteer.
Booker. If I'm playing what? Puppeteer? Marionettes, I like. Mm-hmm. I don't like puppets. Puppets freak me the fuck out. Okay. Marionettes, I'm into. For the bigger, main, bigger story in a company would get such a tremendous pop from, I think WWE would, it would swing WWE's momentum tremendously.
Okay.
I don't think it would be this up, you know, 40% consistent raise in viewership if CM Punk showed up on AEW. I think it would be a tremendous get for them. But I don't know if it would be the end-all be-all that people think it is. You know? It wouldn't be the Hogan or the Outsider showing up on WCW. I mean, listen, it very well could be. I could be wrong on this, but I think the company that would benefit more with a CM Punk is WWE at this point.
Okay.
Because they're so weak on that major consistent star power on the top right now.
I'll agree with that 100%. You know? Okay. I think I it's weird, though, because like, I feel like we share the fear of the fan. Which is, you want these guys to be handled properly.
Yeah, man, I want everyone... Listen, I like wrestling, and I look at wrestling a little bit differently than a lot of other people. Mm-hmm. I love the concept and the business of wrestling. I love the carniness of professional wrestling. I think it's such a fascinating... Mm-hmm. There's nothing like it.
Oh,
there's
for sure.
There's no comparison you can make. It's not like traditional sports, and it's not like television drama. It's this weird variety product that it's morphed into now, where you have guys pretending to fight. You know, watch wrestling stoned... And you sometimes realize how ridiculous it is. Like,
You
know what I mean? How do I love it? And then you realize, like, I love it because it's so absurd.
It's almost, if you get too stoned, it's almost a turnoff.
A little bit.
Right? All right, Fifth Generation Carney. We have 6 minutes, so we're going to try to knock these out.
Okay.
Do you know if NXT plans on going back on the road? And do you know if NXT plans to go back to Full Sail?
NXT would love to go to Full Sail. I think they're waiting for the school to announce whatever their policy is. For the new school year. I don't think I don't think we'll see it like next week, but I think when the school year begins, there's obviously going to be some sort of guidance from Full Sail. I would imagine it would go back to Full Sail, but early on I was told that they really didn't want civilians in that building in the performance center.
Okay. Fair enough. I got to keep it clean. Let's see.
Dirty people.
Wrestling fan, with gimmick shows being in late 2021, 2022, what do you think WWE will do to bump up their ratings for the first few shows back with crowds?
In July? I would say expect John Cena.
Yeah.
I don't have a set date,
yeah,
but I would say expect John Cena for that first bump. You want to talk October, I would say expect The Rock in some capacity.
Well, Cena, right? Rock? Shawn Michaels, Triple H, the built-in guys.
Yeah.
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 Goldberg.
Goldberg, yeah. Goldberg, Hunter, Lesnar, Dwayne.
Dwayne.
I love it when people passive-aggressively call him Dwayne on Twitter. Like, Dwayne's going to do anything. I'm like, Dwayne's going to do a lot. The biggest name in...
Right. Forget it.
Listen, man, if the other thing is... and. I don't know anything about this. I'm not, don't quote me that I'm saying that this match is happening, because I have to be careful with that, because the Lesnar stuff, I think it was the wording, because my speech to text doesn't translate properly, because I have a lot, my vernacular and my cadence kind of doesn't...
Got a lot happening in that cortex, man.
Dude, it's all pots and pans banging in my head.
Yeah.
I would say with Fast and the Furious and the fact that The Rock is in that movie, mm-hmm, and John Cena's in that movie, you would, if it's possible, you would want to do that,
mm-hmm,
again.
Does Vin Diesel show up?
And he comes up. He's like, guys, stop. He's the ref. He's like, guys, stop. We have to live our lives a quarter mile at a time.
I would love it if
my dad shows up and quotes him, like Thanksgiving every year. This is a fun fact, guys. My father, every year at Thanksgiving, will quote that line from Vin Diesel when he's making his toast from the first Fast and the Furious movie, and nobody knows what to do with it. So now we just clap, and it's like the greatest line ever.
It's amazing.
Everybody sells it over the top.
Does he take a pause and then lean in and go, family?
Family.
Do you think WWE will bring back the different stage sets for pay-per-views? If not, why? Budget?
No, they feel like they don't need to because the LEDs create the look, that the aesthetic that they want. It's way easier to carry those freaking panels instead of that ridiculous contraption they built for, like, Backlash with the hooks. This thing?
What kind of set was this? It was the Backlash set. You get that, you know, when I think of the word Backlash, I think of giant steel hooks.
Giant steel
hovering
hooks.
Over the entrance.
So I would say maybe for the big four, but expect a whole new set with LEDs.
Our new friend Vibor Pal asks, leaving Lesnar, what could be the potential matchup for WWE Championship at SummerSlam?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know, but they have to do a big job with this. Maybe Edge.
Why not?
I don't know anything. I haven't asked about Edge. I know that they want him to do something. I expect them to do something, considering the fact that they've opened up 45,000 to 50,000 tickets already for that building, which I expect some more to be released. But I'm told the tickets are selling really freaking well for that show.
Great. Okay. Let's see. We got three more minutes. We can do a couple more here. Riley Walker, do you think AEW should bring in Shaq for Grand Slam to wrestle? Could be a draw for casual fans, and maybe he could wrestle Paul White.
Shaq for sure is coming back.
Oh, absolutely.
I don't know when, though.
Will NXT be involved in the draft?
I've been asked that by every single person on the internet, and I've asked every single person that I know, and they say they don't know. So if they don't know, I imagine if they are involved, I would find out sooner than later. I just don't know.
Okay. You heard it here first, folks.
I don't know.
Andrew Zarian doesn't know. can we do an old-timey episode where we just kind of talk like this?
These guys are going to clear.
About the news. All right. Large 23, did you see the Dynamite Kid Dark Side?
It upset me. It really did. It bummed me out. Boy. Like, the Pillman one didn't bum me out as much because I felt... It was sad, obviously. It was a sad story. The Dynamite Kid one really, like, bummed me out. I actually stopped watching it. I was like,
it's too much, right?
It was like, the man lost his mind.
Yeah.
He was, like, a really troubled soul.
I feel if you watch those during the day, they're better.
I watched it at night after I got home. And
you can process them better. Me personally, like, I feel like you can process those sad stories better in the daytime if you watch them, as opposed to, like, right before you go to bed. Because then you'll have nightmares.
Yeah, really, really depressing.
Right now, this is from...
Oh, sorry, hold on.
Listen, wasn't the scoop. He's just sneezing.
No, I didn't realize you were talking. I was going to...
It's okay.
I muted us.
Give me some echo and reverb.
Yeah.
Brendan Santoro. This is the last question, right, and then we're getting out of here, guys. Brendan Santoro asks, right now, do you believe the WrestleMania main event is Roman versus The Rock? If not, the only other matches I can see for Roman are Seth or Drew... If The Rock is the Mania 39 in LA. I don't know what last part is.
Okay, something bad has to happen for him not to be in that main event. Because he wants to do it.
Sure.
Really badly. It's his cousin.
They're really building the storyline, too.
And he knows, listen, Rock is 49. He's going to be 50. You don't have too many years to do this.
Yeah.
His physique, not saying that he's not training hard, but... It's a really uphill battle at a certain point. And, you know, you don't do it for so long, it gets more and more difficult. So I definitely think he wants to do this match. You know, this is his Rock Hogan match, you know, that you could relive with Roman. I think it'll be a blockbuster match. But who else is left for Roman like that?
Yeah.
We brought up CM Punk, right?
True.
I mean, that would be a tremendous match. But definitely Seth or Drew or... Mm-hmm. I don't know.
They also...
Daniel
Bryan would be great, because...
AJ?
AJ would be great. Everybody would be great. Rock and Roman don't have to work, like... At this point, Roman could work that Brock Lesnar style versus The Rock, and you'll get a repeat of WrestleMania 18, right? The other thing with that is Roman... I feel like they do these weird, dopey things, too. Roman tweeted out saying, hey, Rock and Cena, don't bother coming back to WWE. You're not welcome here. Or something of that nature, you know? Like, I'm paraphrasing, but he was like, why don't you stay on your movie sets? I got it. I'm the big dog.
I'm the big dog now.
I'm the big dog now. I think that's it for questions, bud.
All right, man. I hope that was some stuff for you guys today. You enjoyed. Listen, it was... sorry, man. I had to rush. I had to get out of here. Different time, different day, different everything. So
it happens.
You know, we're back next week. Next Thursday, we'll be live in the morning. I got something special planned for Tuesday, guys. If you're gonna, if you're fans of F4W and the Wrestling Observer, stay tuned. Tuesday night, I got a special show debuting on there with two very special people.
One's got to be Denise.
Where's Denise? Denise is with me now. With Denise and Garrett Gonzalez, we're going to be doing something very cool. Awesome. So that's something for Tuesday next week. And a whole lot more stuff, obviously, in the works. We're working on a schedule for SummerSlam. We're going to be at All Out. We're also going to be at AEW in Queens. So you see us, when you see us, go up to us and be like, who are you wearing?
Oh, my God. That'd be great.
That's our thing. Who are you wearing?
Adidas.
I got a Valentino pants. It's going to be a lot of fun. Guys, follow me on Twitter at AndrewZarian. Subscribe to us everywhere podcasts are available. And, of course, BTC Rich, Bitcoin Rich on Twitter. He's a big crypto guy now. By the way, I bought the MJF crypto.
Did you really?
Because I'm sick. No, $100 I paid. Right,
cool.
I've already made $2.
Awesome.
Yeah. So, all right, guys, that's it for this week. See you later.